he didn't say anything at all, did he? Brother Thomason's folks are here from North Carolina. We'll have interpreting during this message, all right, for you. But we're so glad you're here. We've been praying for your daughter-in-law and your son, and I know you have been too. And I pray you'll have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And many, many other guests, we're glad you're here. Welcome to Lancaster Baptist Church. Psalm 100, and please read with me all five verses tonight as we read together. Ready? Begin. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that your truth endureth to all generations, and so that when we read your word tonight, we are able to read and then comprehend as your Spirit directs us and guides us tonight into the truth of your word. We pray that you would help us tonight to grow and, Father, to be a thankful people at this time of year, Lord, and then not only at this time of year, but throughout the year. We praise you, Lord, for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us as a church throughout this year and as individuals. But most of all, we praise you for voluntarily giving of yourself upon the cross of Calvary, and that each of us who have looked to that cross in faith can know tonight that we're saved and on our way to heaven. And Lord, we just thank you so much for loving us like that. And we pray that you would help us to truly give thanks tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I remember in the summer of 1990, our family was out in the state of Colorado. And as we were there, we had the opportunity to go up into the mountains on one occasion. And we spent some time just doing a little bit of fishing. And as we were coming back down the road, we saw a sign. And the sign said, Purgatory Ski Area. Now, the very name should have told me that a good Baptist would never go there. And we don't believe in purgatory around here. They said we have an alpine slide. And there was a sign that said alpine slide. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, those are fun. Let's take the kids and go up to the alpine slide. And so I took the kids up, and my wife stayed down a little lower on the hill, and I took the kids up, and we went to the alpine slide. And boy, we had a fun time. They're kind of like a concrete track, I guess you might call it, or a kind of a tube-shaped slide. And I suppose the slide was maybe 3 or 4 miles long. It was amazing how the slide would come down the mountain. Of course, during the wintertime, it was snow, and they skied down the mountain. But in the summertime, you took the chairlift up to the top of the hill, and then you got in this little slide, and you had a little joystick there, and you pushed it forward, and wheels would come out on the bottom, and the farther you pushed it forward, the faster you'd go. How many of you have ever been on one of those? You know what I'm talking about. And I should have noticed the signs more carefully. Sometimes we're not as observant in certain situations, and there were signs such as ride at your own risk. And they had a lot of other warnings, one of them in fine print. Welcome home, Brother Kiefer. And good to see you back from Saudi Arabia. And the signs were saying that if you have any kind of an allergy problem, that you need to be careful about this ride. And, of course, blood pressure and back problems. They list all these things in very fine print. And I didn't read that, the sign. And got up on the alpine slide. And we were going down once and twice, just having a great time. Christine was on my lap. And the other kids would go in front of us, and we'd get in that little slide and push that stick forward. And I don't know how fast you'd go, but it was moving right along. And about the last time we were getting ready to go down, we positioned Christine right on my lap, and I was going down the slide, pushed the stick as far forward as I could possibly get it to go, and we were really cooking. I mean, we were going down that hill, and I mean, just taking those turns. And we went around a turn about halfway down that mountain where Something went wrong. I'm still not exactly sure what it was, but somehow that little cart we were on started to wobble, and it flew out from under me, and I took Christine to cradle her into my arms so that she would not be hurt too bad. I had on a pair of basically long walking type shorts and a short sleeve shirt, and I'm telling you what, the skin on my legs and arms just began to peel and burn down the about 30 or 40 feet of that slide as we were going quite fast with no cart under us now. I became the cart, and we just kind of crashed and burned for a while. And I remember getting up off of that slide and standing on the middle of that mountain just hurting and stinging and feeling really a lot of pain, and I thought I better go down to the bottom of the hill and at least clean this all out. And as I started to get down to the bottom of the hill, I got dizzy. I mean, really dizzy. And I got into the first aid room and they couldn't find the first aid people. And now, for some reason, I was having trouble breathing. I couldn't get any air into my system. And so I sat down on a bench. And by this time, all of the children were there on the bench across from me, watching me try to breathe. And they couldn't find any oxygen. They couldn't get the oxygen. They had nobody for first aid. And I sat there. And finally, someone came in. He tried to hook up the oxygen, but he wasn't sure how to hook up the oxygen. And so they dialed 911, and I forget exactly how long later the ambulance showed up. But I know I was coming in and out and just having a difficult time breathing, and my eyes had now swelled literally shut. I have a beautiful picture of it, if any of you ever would like to see a picture of it. But my face swelled up, my eyes swelled shut, and what had happened was that I found out later that when the skin had scraped off my arm and my leg, that the pollen that had been laying on that concrete, sort of like a needle injection, just went right into my bloodstream. And I had what they call the anaphylactic attack. And I mean, it was attacking my respiratory system and my face and my eyes. I mean, I was literally scared to death. And I remember what I was thinking as I was on that bench waiting for the ambulance to come and trying to breathe. I was thinking things like this: boy, am I glad I have life insurance for these kids. I was thinking, man, am I glad I'm saved. Because if they don't get here quick enough, at least I know that I'll be with the Lord. And, you know, it's amazing the thoughts you have at a moment like that. And I was just thinking things like that. And as I struggled for breath and so forth, I began to pray. And I prayed, Lord, now I can't question your will, but Lord, you see these kids here, they need a father. And I was talking to the Lord about all these things and praying to the Lord and asking for Him to help in this situation. The last thing I heard before I passed out was they were talking about doing a tracheotomy. And I think that may be why I passed out. I'm not sure. They were trying to do other things to bring me around and major, later on put in major dosages of epinephrine and different kinds of drugs to get me back to where I could breathe. And of course, by God's grace, after a day or so in the hospital, He brought me through that. And we got back to California. And I vowed never, ever to go to purgatory again in my life. I never did think there was an in-between between hell and heaven. But maybe there is after that experience. I don't know. But, you know, I look back to that and I think, boy, I was sure praying fervently that day. I mean, I was really coming to the throne of grace boldly. And I was bringing my problem to the Lord. You know, sometimes that's exactly the way we are in our approach to the Lord. It's sort of a crisis management approach. Sometimes it takes a real emergency to get us to approach God in the way that we should. And I believe tonight that as we come into this Thanksgiving Eve, that what every one of us need to do, not only tonight, but throughout the day tomorrow and throughout this upcoming year, is to give ourselves over to thanksgiving unto the Lord. And to approach Him, not just to ask Him for His benefits, but to thank Him for the benefits that He's already bestowed upon us. And to come to Him boldly, as Hebrews declares, and to give to Him thanksgiving, as the psalmist declares. I don't know about you, but I really love it when my kids say thank you, don't you? I remember a few years ago when they had the ladies' retreat, and that year they took all the ladies out to some town away from here, and I had the responsibility of taking care of the kids, and I also had the responsibility of keeping the house clean. That's a lot of responsibility. And I decided the only way that I was going to get both things done effectively was to take the kids out of the house. And so we went out for pizza, and we went out, and we did all kinds of stuff, and we went to Lucky's. I very rarely get to go to Lucky's. I mean, I guess in the last 12 months, I've been in there maybe two times. I'm not an expert on Lucky's, and I wasn't an expert on what happens when you go into Lucky's with four kids. I know now, after a few more trips after that included, that what happens is basically they ask you for every single thing they see. If mom buys Cheerios, they ask you for Apple Jacks, you know, and they go on. And so as we were doing the shopping and walking through the shopping market, just about everything that Matthew was asking for, sure, son, that's fine, sure. I mean, I admit it was poor stewardship. I didn't have a calculator. I didn't have a coupon. I didn't have any of the stuff my wife takes, you know. I had the checkbook, but other than that, I wasn't really prepared. And I should have guessed, because about halfway through this experience, Matthew's just got this look on his face like, man, this is awesome. And he kept asking for stuff and asking for stuff. And boy, we got to the cash register, and it was awesome. I mean, it was a huge amount. And I wrote the check out, and my wife later reprimanded me for waste. But I'll never forget what happened when we got home from that. And it was so simple, but it was such a blessing to have our youngest child just look up and say, Dad, thanks for buying all that stuff for us. You know, it just kind of melted my heart. You know, it's like, you want to go buy it again? Want to go do that again? And there's something about hearing from our kids unprompted. I'm not talking about, what do you say? What do you say to them? I'm not talking about that. You know, how many of you have ever done that to your... You know, grandma's going to give something tomorrow to the kids. What do you say, George? I don't know. You never say nothing. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, isn't it a blessing when they just say it? And tonight, as we look at Psalm 100, I believe that God is really pleased with hearing from His children and hearing thanksgiving from His children. And I hope that every one of you will take time, whether it be testimonies around your table tomorrow or whether it be time of prayer also, to give thanks. You see, the Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, in everything, give thanks. And in this particular day in which we live, in which we can so easily become preoccupied, in which we can become distracted so easily, it is good to set aside times of thanks. Obviously, our forefathers saw the need. George Washington saw the need. Abraham Lincoln, in declaring Thanksgiving a national holiday, saw the need to come apart and to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 95 and verse 2 says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. And I want to share with you tonight three very significant truths about the way to approach God at thanksgiving. The way to approach God at thanksgiving and the importance of approaching God at thanksgiving. I want you to notice, first of all, tonight that giving thanks reflects an inner attitude towards God. Giving thanks reflects an inner attitude towards God. The Bible says in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And I'm convinced tonight that thankful people are joyful people. In other words, if someone's giving thanks, it's because there's joy in their heart. Why did Matthew say thanks for all that stuff? Boy, he was excited about what had taken place. And I'm convinced that the reason oftentimes that there is no joy in the heart of the believer is because there is a lack of gratitude in the heart of the believer. The Bible says that we're to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And a joyful noise comes from a thankful heart. I think of the song that we used to sing sometimes. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are any of you like that, that you have to come to a place in your life where in order to maintain the joy, you need to take a minute and look back? Look back to salvation, look back to the blessings of God, and begin to count the blessings. Because when you're strictly looking ahead at what you're facing after this holiday, it could almost become a discouraging viewpoint. But when you stop and say, wait a minute, before I focus on that, I want to look back and see what the Lord's done for me. And you focus on the blessings, and you count the blessings, and you count them one by one. It surprises you what God has done. And from that look, and from that thankfulness, there comes joy into the heart of a believer. I believe that thankful people are a serving people. And I believe we see that in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. And I believe the Apostle Paul was truly overwhelmed and thankful for the love of Jesus Christ. And it was because of that that he served. And I believe it was because of that that he gave of his life. And I'm simply saying that giving thanks reflects an inner attitude. It shows to us that there's something right on the heart, on the inside. And when someone has a thankful heart, it's going to reflect itself in joy. It's going to reflect itself in service. I believe that tonight, those of you who serve in ministry, the proper motivation for serving is a thankful heart. Because of what Jesus did for me at Calvary, I serve Him and I enjoy the privilege of ministry. And so thankful people are a joyful people. Thankful people are a serving people. Thankful people will sing the praise of God. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I remember the song, come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. And I believe that someone who's thankful, when they're singing a song, whether it be at Calvary, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. As they're singing that song, they're thinking, that's me. Lord, you saved me. And from a heart of thanksgiving, there is a voice given over to praise. And you see, thankfulness is an attribute that we must maintain in the Christian life if we're going to be effectively serving Christ with the right attitude. Giving thanks reflects a proper inner attitude. That's why we want our children to do it. And that's why God delights in the thanks and praise of His children. Notice secondly that giving thanks represents our acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. Giving thanks represents our acknowledgement of God's sovereign hand at work in our lives. The Bible says in verse 3, this phrase, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Now notice the phrase, know ye that the Lord, He is God. And as we think about that, we live in the day of the concept where people think that they're a self-made man. And their theme song is Frank Sinatra's song, I Had It All and Had It My Way. And that's the exact opposite attitude of a thankful heart. The Bible says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. And this is what intelligent worship is all about. It's all about acknowledging who God is and what God's doing in our lives. And many never acknowledge the true and living God. And many Christians, though they received Christ as Savior, are not acknowledging God with a thankful heart for what He's done in their lives. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 9 and verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not thine wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. And we need to never get over the fact tonight that were it not for the grace of God, we would be tonight on our way to a Christless hell. We need to never get over the fact tonight that folks, all we are as Christians are sinners saved by the grace of God. And boy, what a tragedy when a Christian, as Jeremiah says, would glory in his might or glory in his riches or glory in even his wisdom, even his Bible knowledge more than in his Savior, you see. And you and I need to come to a place where God says the great thing of glory, the great thing in which we might glory, is that we understand and know God. And you see, today, as we come into this Thanksgiving Eve service, we need to acknowledge that He is God and that He is the only one worthy of our praise and adoration. Acknowledge that He is God. And then we need to acknowledge that He is the Creator. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. I'm very concerned with our country tonight, and I know you are as well. I'm concerned with a country that would somehow think it's all right to murder a preborn baby just because it's not a boy. I'm concerned with a country that would allow a man to take another man's life on television and then dare the police to arrest him. It seems as though we live in a society today that has a very low viewpoint of human life. It seems as though we're living in a country today that just seems to say that if there's some problem physically here, then this is a disposable person. This person's not really that important. I want to tell you something. From the time of conception until the time God calls someone home, they are God's creation. And we have all the test tube days in which we live now and all the cloning and all the rest of these things going on. But I think we need to see what the Bible says. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We need to acknowledge that He is the Creator. And we need to simply deflect the praise to Him and recognize His rightful position in our lives. That's why praying for the Thanksgiving meal, obviously. But you know, many of you are new Christians who perhaps need to remember the importance of praying at every meal and acknowledging your God and not being ashamed of your God. The Bible says in Romans 1 and verse 21 concerning the first century Gentile world, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And you see, the fact of the matter is that many Christians today aren't doing much better. And we need to glorify Him as God. Acknowledge that He is God and acknowledge that He is our Creator and acknowledge that we are His people. The Bible says in verse number 3, it says, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Let's read that phrase together right there. Ready? Begin. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Let's say it one more time. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I like that phrase. I like the fact that God says we belong to Him. We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. By the way, let's stay in that pasture. Let's not be feeding on the world's feedlots. Let's stay in the pasture of Jesus Christ. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. Turn, if you would, over to the book of Colossians for a moment and just notice what the Scripture says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Why can we say tonight that we are His people? Do you know that there are people in this world who would say that that's a braggadocious statement? To say that we're His people is to imply that there might be some who are not His people. We have those today in liberal theological schools who would say that God is the Father of all and everyone are God's children. But you know, the fact of the matter, even to the Sadducees and Pharisees, Jesus said on one occasion, you're of your father the devil, you see. And the fact of the matter is that not everyone is automatically a child of God. Not everyone can automatically claim the promise that the psalmist claims here in verse 3 when he says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. What makes someone today a child of God? What makes someone have a right to this claim that he's the child of God? Only one thing, that he's been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Colossians says, that we have a redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not through the church, not through the baptistry waters, not through our good works. And so that's why the very top thing on our Thanksgiving list ought to be that Jesus Christ, the perfectly sinless Son of God, the pre-existent Son of God, who came and manifested Himself as the Christ child and was born of the Virgin Mary and lived the perfectly sinless life, and then was brought before a mock trial before Pontius Pilate, and there willingly laid Himself down upon a cross and then died for our sins. Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins and rose again on the third day, should be the one who's on the top of our Thanksgiving list. And friend, if you're saved, that's exactly the way it will be. If you've ever trusted Christ as your Savior, then you can say, I'm one of His children. You can say with us, we are His people. But if you've never received Christ as Savior, then you cannot say that, because the Bible simply tells us that we are not the sons of God until we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. And oh, tonight, how we thank God that we can say, we are His people. And if you're here tonight and you can't say that, and you're not sure that Christ is your Savior and that your sins have been forgiven, then you're not sure that Heaven is your home, and you just aren't sure you can truly be thankful for that, we would invite you tonight to trust Christ as your Savior. And you can walk out of this building being truly thankful for the fact that your sins have been forgiven and that you have a home in heaven. And so approaching God with a heart of thanksgiving does several things. First of all, it reflects an attitude of joy. It reflects an inner walk with God. It reflects the proper attitude towards God. And then secondly, it represents our acknowledgement of God. When I say thank you to God, I'm acknowledging the fact I'm not a self-made man. I'm acknowledging the fact that my ability to work and my ability to do certain things in this life is all God-given, and that James 1:17 says that every good gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That every good thing I have in this life, whether it be physical or spiritual, has come from God, and I'm acknowledging to Him the fact that He is God and I'm the creation, and I'm going to worship Him as the Creator. And so giving of thanks reflects an attitude of joy, and giving of thanks represents the acknowledgement of God. And then thirdly, giving thanks will release action into our life of worship. It releases action into a life of worship. And notice what it says in verse 4. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Now, the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings have now ended. But thank God that you and I, who are called in the book of 1 Peter a royal priesthood or believer priest, you and I can bring offerings to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called in the book of Hebrews the high priest. And you and I, as we give thanks to the Lord, are giving to Him an offering, if you will, and we are offering up to Him a spiritual offering of thanksgiving. The Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And you and I, as we come before Him tonight, as we come into the house of God, and as we gather together for worship, and as we gather together for edification, we are to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We are to enter into His presence personally with thanksgiving. And as we come to the Lord with thanksgiving, we are offering up a sacrifice to Him. Sometimes that sacrifice may be in the form of a song. Sometimes it might be in the form of a prayer of thanks. Sometimes it might be in the form of our life of service, or it might be in the form of giving. Whatever the case, let it all be done under the glory of God. And let it be done as a sacrifice that the Bible calls a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto the Lord God Almighty. Years ago, Matthew Henry, who was a preacher of yesteryear and also wrote some Bible commentaries, he was riding along on his horse one day, and as he was riding along, he was noticing some people off to the side of the road eyeing him and watching him. And after a while, they began to throw rocks at him. And he was smitten, and he fell off of the horse, and the men that had thrown the rocks came up, and they turned him over and took his wallet out of his pocket and ran off down the street. And Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary sometime later, he said, as I ponder this situation, let me be thankful. He says, first of all, let me be thankful because I was never robbed before. Secondly, he said, they took my wallet and not my life. Thirdly, he said, they took everything I had in my wallet, but they were not able to take much because there was not much in the wallet. And fourthly, he said, I was the one who was robbed, not the one who was robbing. You know, the illustration is simply this. In everything, give thanks. And every day of our lives and in every situation of our lives, there are reasons to give thanks unto the Lord. And when we give thanks to the Lord, we're offering to Him, our high priest, an offering that is pleasing unto Him. So we're to enter with thanksgiving. And then notice the Bible says in verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. And here we see in verse 4 the admonition, be thankful unto Him. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, now thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad tonight that you're on the winning side? I mean, no matter where we're at right now, God says, I'm going to cause you to triumph. And that may be in the midst of trials. That may be in some other season of life. And one day we know when the trumpet of God shall sound and we shall see Him face to face, the great victory that that day will bring. But we see that we're to be thankful unto Him. And we're to be thankful for the fact that He causes us to triumph. Spurgeon said it this way on one occasion. He said, so long as we are the receivers of His mercy, we should be the givers of thanks unto Him. And that's what the Bible is mentioning in verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Now, I don't know what your circumstance might be tonight. And you might be like sometimes we can get. You might be right now saying, man, what is there to be thankful for? And you might be even questioning some things going on in your life. And I want to remind you of something tonight. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And before the wicked one would bring some relationship or situation by that would drag you away from the Lord, let me remind you tonight, give thanks to the Holy One because He is good and His mercy endureth forever. And we thank God for that tonight. We thank God for the fact that in this hour we can give Him thanks for the great and mighty things that He has done. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do give You thanks and we praise Your name for the Lord Jesus Christ, Your only Son, Your perfect Son, who gave a perfect sacrifice on Calvary's tree for our sin. And Lord, we pray tonight that as Your children, as Your people, as the psalmist said, that we would give thanks from hearts that are truly in tune with You. And Father, that we would offer up offerings of thanksgiving tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that You would speak to each of our hearts at this moment. And if perhaps we've not been expressing our thanks to You, that You would help us to focus on the cross. Help us to focus on Your goodness. And Lord, forgive us for the tendency that we have to sometimes focus on the things that don't go right or the things that we don't have, when in fact we truly should count our blessings and name them one by one. And I pray that tonight there would be some folks that in doing so would just be surprised as they think about all the things that the Lord has done. Bless these moments in our service as we come to the final moments tonight and be pleased with it, we pray. Our heads are bowed tonight and our eyes are closed. And I just want to encourage you to take a moment right now just to do some introspection into your own heart. Maybe let the Bible be a mirror, as James calls it. Let it reflect back to you that which God would have you to see tonight from His Word. And I wonder tonight, as you look into the Word of God and as you hear the psalmist speak about we are His people and the sheep of His pasture, I wonder if God's Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. And I wonder tonight, do you know that you are His child? Do you know, as Colossians says, that you have been redeemed by the blood? Do you know for sure that heaven one day will be your home? And I wonder tonight if you're with us and with heads bowed and eyes closed, you can simply and honestly say, yes, I know that I am of His pasture. I know that He is my shepherd. I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And there's no doubt about that. And if that's your testimony tonight, could you lift your hand as a testimony? That's a wonderful sight. Let me put your hands down. I wonder how many would be in this auditorium tonight, and you might say, Pastor Chappell, you know, I do have a lot to be thankful for, but I'm not sure that I can really say that I'm one of his sheep. I mean, I'm not really sure that I know that my sins are forgiven or that heaven is my home. And I'm thankful to God and thankful for God. But I don't know that when you use a possessive personal pronoun like that, that I can really say he's my Savior. And I'm not sure that heaven is my home eternally. And friend, I want to encourage you that there's nothing greater than knowing your sins are forgiven and that heaven is your home and that Christ is your personal Savior. And if you're here tonight and you could not raise your hand a moment ago and you're not sure that Christ is your Savior, but you'd say, Pastor Chappell, I'd like to know how that I could have the forgiveness of my sin and a relationship with Christ. I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago, but I sense that on this Thanksgiving Eve, that's something that I need. I need a personal relationship with Him. And I'd like to know more about how that could be a reality in my life. And if that's your desire tonight, I wonder right now in the quietness of this moment, if you just simply slip up your hand that I might have a word of prayer with you. Just slip it up and hold it there for just a moment. And just by the uplifted hand indicate, I'm not sure that Christ is my Savior. I'd like to know. Is there anyone like that tonight in our Thanksgiving Eve service? Because we'd love to be a help to you in knowing Christ. And then I wonder tonight if there would be those that are here then who are professing Christ as Savior. And I think that's most of this congregation tonight, who would just simply say on this Thanksgiving Eve, you know, Pastor, in recent days, I have focused on what I do not have. What I do not have materially, what I do not have relationship-wise. And even to the point of sometime looking over the fence into the devil's pasture, perhaps. And you'd say, as I think about all that God has done for me, I think I truly need a renewal of thanksgiving in my heart. And I do believe what you said, that thanksgiving is the spring from which joy flows. And God is speaking to me as a Christian, not just tomorrow, but as a change of heart attitude to be a giver of thanks and to really be rejoicing in what God has done. And God's spoken to my heart tonight about this matter. Pray with me that my heart towards God would be the thankful heart that it should be. Would you lift your hand tonight if God's speaking perhaps to some just in that area? Because we're going to have a prayer for all of us in this realm, but especially those who perhaps just specifically sense that their heart has not been the heart of thanksgiving that it should be. Father, I thank you tonight for all that you have done for us in giving to us your word and in giving us cause for thanksgiving. And I pray tonight for these who've raised their hands, who even in a very direct way would just say that they've not been focusing on your goodness. They've not been truly thankful for what you've done in their life like they perhaps could or should be. So I pray tonight that you would cause them and their hearts to have a renewal of thanksgiving and a revival of joy. And as they enter into your presence, that it would be real and bright. And Father, that it would be a time of refreshing fellowship with you. And I pray tonight that on this Thanksgiving Eve, that we would realize that it is you that has made us, not we ourselves. And that we would give you the praise and the glory. And that we would deflect that to you, Lord, as it's oftentimes in this earth easy to take the credit when we know that without you we can do nothing. And so we thank you for what you've done, and we ask you to continue your work, and we pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together tonight. We're going to sing a song of invitation. Perhaps tonight you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior. Perhaps you've been to church and so forth, but you're not sure that you're saved. Just a moment as we sing, if you'd like to come and shake my hand or one of the pastor's hands and just say, I'm not sure of where I met with the Lord right now and I'd like to talk to someone about it, we'd love to take the time tonight and talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. And then if you're here tonight and you know that you're saved, but your heart's been a little bit callous lately, like the children of Israel for 40 years who hardened their hearts and did not enter into the blessings of God. And you'd say, you know, I've not really been thankful like I should be. And God's spoken to me about that. Perhaps you even raised your hand tonight. You'd like to just come and pray. Or maybe it's not a matter of unthankfulness. It's just a matter tonight of the fact that you just want to thank Him. And whatever the need might be, if God's speaking to your heart, this invitation time's open for you. And it's open for all of us to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ as we sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Let's just take a few moments to thank God for what He's done in our lives, to express our gratitude to Him.
See on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Let's just have our heads bowed and eyes closed, and let's just take some time right now to thank a loving Savior who called us one day to come home to Him. Thank Him for His many benefits tonight, for His blessings in your life.